This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 4. Iceberg of Communications. If you'll just smile. Charlie Chaplin and Nat King Cole, 1954.
Hello, James.
Hello, John.
It's about behavioral flexibility. I'm glad you reacted to that. We've defined leadership as my ability to influence. We've already established that I influence others through my behavior. I behave in a certain way. My counterpart perceives this behavior through his 5 sensory channels: visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory. In short, VACOG. My counterpart processes this input. He or she deletes, distorts, and generalizes content and mixes it with their own beliefs, values, visions, and personal experiences. Based on the result, my counterpart chooses his or her behavior, which I in turn perceive through my 5 VACOG channels. Of the millions of bits I receive through the 5 channels, the result set has only 7 plus or minus 2 elements. So it's a real black box. I basically have no idea what exactly is happening, both with me and with my counterpart. You have a nice picture for it. It's not the black box. As far as I know, the Titanic didn't have a black box. What picture do you have for it?
You mean the one where the Titanic crashed against the iceberg?
Right. The iceberg of communication.
That's the risk with an iceberg. If I'm not aware that it's an iceberg, I'll race full steam ahead, slam against what's under the surface, and sink. It's a challenge to get through all those millions of bits per second that are coming at my interlocutor and be part of the 7 plus or minus 2 result set. As an executive, it's like playing pool and making a bank shot with 100 balls.
And in the dark.
Yeah, it feels that way sometimes. Fortunately, there are methods that increase my chances of having my voice, my charisma, and my behavior become part of the 7 plus or minus 2 result set of my counterpart.
Well, I'm very curious.
It works with the iceberg of communication. A large part of my communication is below the surface. There are 3 essential components of successful communication. First, the rapport. Second, how I communicate. Third, what I communicate. Leadership is influencing, and influencing is done through holistic, whole-body communication, which we call charisma.
The most important thing is that I say very loudly what I want.
Absolutely. Then you've already won. Good luck with that. The what is probably clear to everyone. It's all about the message, about the actual content that I communicate. We don't need to go into this in detail here. How is the way I communicate? My charisma, my gestures, my facial expressions, my behavior, whole body, and holistic. Rapport is a term that I first learned through this model. In German, the word rapport is only known in a quite old military context. In English, the word is rather common. In German, especially in the Rhineland, there is a term that comes close to the meaning of the rapport: chemistry, as in, the chemistry is right. When the chemistry is right, everything flows.
How can I tell that the chemistry's right?
Good question. How do we know that the chemistry is right?
The fact that we manage to talk about different things is one example. Chemistry goes something like this. You say something about your partner at home. I respond to it and add something about my life. It's basically small talk. When we make small talk and talk about personal things, it helps us to build up rapport. We have a common theme. We talk about it. We have common experiences that we draw on. I'm using all this to build up rapport with you.
We know each other a little bit, and we didn't build the rapport in one conversation. Our relationship is a sum of all the moments and time we have spent together, the experiences we've shared. In the dictionary, there is a very simple description under rapport. Rapport is an interrelation or a connection. Another definition is a good understanding of someone and an ability to communicate well with them.
people who were talking in the cafe and crossed their legs.
That's a nice analogy. There's the expression, dance in the moment. If we get along well in that moment, then the chemistry between us is just right. If the relationship between two people is in the same rhythm, we think alike. Or when we don't even notice how time passes and we keep talking to each other, exchanging ideas. Now and then, someone draws a sketch for both of us and we are totally absorbed in the topic. We are in a flow state. All this is a sign that there is a rapport between us, a trusting mutual relationship, simply a good contact.
We deliberately build this rapport. For example, for our podcasts. If we arrange to record a podcast and we both sit in front of our computer, we don't start with the podcast directly and press the record button. We first tell each other how we're doing. How are things at home? We create a rapport, build a relationship, before moving on to do what we actually want to do. The actual result then flows much more easily because we've managed to bring ourselves into alignment.
Tuning in or getting into the groove are great expressions from the world of music. It's about synchronization. With some people, it's very easy for me. I get along with them right away. We just hit it off, we click, and then it just runs without much effort. With other people, I find it rather difficult. The first conversations are tough, and it takes quite a while before we get into some sort of common groove. With some people, it might not work at all.
You already said, people like people who are like themselves. So there's actually a pigeonhole for people with whom you can probably build rapport relatively quickly. A pigeonhole in a positive sense.
There is actually a pigeonhole distribution. 85% of people are so-called matchers. That means they get along well with people who tick in a similar way to themselves. Matchers are people who like people who are similar to them. People like people who are like themselves.
Cad's fighting when ended is soon mended.
The phrase piggy bank is filling up. At the margin of the normal distribution are the remaining 15%. These are people who actually get along better with people who are different. These are so-called mismatchers. There are techniques for this as well. As a manager, I can tell whether my counterpart is a matcher or a mismatcher. If I've detected this, I can react accordingly. With a mismatcher, I behave differently. I transmit something different than with a matcher in order to respond to him. That is the rapport.
How do I do that exactly? With some people, it comes easily to me. You and I are very likely both matchers. We get along very well with each other. It's not difficult for either of us. Now I'm standing opposite someone and I realize that the rapport is not right at all. That someone is one of my employees. What can I do to make the rapport right?
Do we want to get into that right now?
Yes, only briefly as a teaser.
All right. There's a whole range of techniques. For example, let's take one that we can remember well. I have a little anecdote about that. Can I briefly explain?
Absolutely.
I used to work for this corporation. I originally applied to work here because of an advanced training program for managers, which I really wanted to take part in. They had advertised the opportunity of becoming a future CEO of one of the subsidiaries once the program was completed. I thought at the time, future CEO? That's me. That's where I want to go. I actually started working for this company. I wasn't even promised a spot on the program at the beginning. Only as an employee did I have the opportunity to apply for this program. They told me right from the start that it was quite selective. Nevertheless, I quit my old job and started at this company. This program was pretty important for me. The requirement was that I pass the assessment center. I applied for it immediately. There were even several assessment centers where I was picked apart. There were different group situations in which we were observed. Then there were math tests, psychometric tests, and so on. The whole process lasted for months. The participation alone was a great experience. At the end, I had a meeting with the group HR director and two other HR managers. They told me the results. The HR director took a writing pad and a thick black pen and just wrote "yes" on the note and held it up in front of me. I really had goosebumps at that moment. I was really happy and totally relieved. The fact that I had actually managed to get into this program was completely insane for me, an incredible feeling. Then I got feedback on my results. After all, it was all about developing people into good leaders and training future CEOs. The training started right away. Of course, they did it super professionally and explained to me exactly what they observed and what I could do even better in the future. In the process, the HR director taught me another lesson that I will never forget. He sat across from me, suddenly leaned over the entire table towards me, and smiled at me with a huge grin. He grinned more and more and started to laugh. I also laughed along loudly. Suddenly, he stopped abruptly and said, "You see, what just happened?" I said, "Yes, I laughed." He answers, "And how do you feel?" I said, "Good, laughing is nice." He said, "That's right. You should smile much more, because people feel better when they are smiled at. And as a manager, that's important."
You probably looked very serious because you took it seriously.
Yes, I was a relatively serious guy for a long time in my life, at least in a professional context. I took everything very seriously. In retrospect, maybe too serious, at least until I got that feedback. It was like the dragon in the book The Neverending Story. Falcor, with the smile who, like this guy, flies right at me. The guy had a similar broad grin as this friendly dragon. I will never forget how he hovered over the table with his broad smile about 10 inches in front of my nose. Since then, I've always taken his advice to heart and noticed how much a smile can do for me. But the story goes on. That day we were in England, in Brighton. I flew back to Germany in the evening and thought to myself, I'll just try this now. So I got on the plane and smiled broadly at the flight attendant who was standing in the doorway of the plane to greet me. I said smilingly and totally exaggerated, "Hello." Today, this is not difficult for me anymore. Back then, it felt really strange. She looked at me baffled, then smiled back, and we had a nice, short conversation. Later, I ordered a glass of wine from her, again with a smile, and this nice flight attendant poured more and more wine. Before landing, I praised the wine in all its glory, again with a big smile on my face. It became easier and easier for me. Admittedly, that day I was so happy about my triumph, I probably would have found anything tasty. And then the highlight of the story happened. When I got off in Dusseldorf, she handed me a bottle of wine as a present in a bag. Just like that.
Just because you smiled?
At least that's what I attribute to it. I didn't usually have that effect on people. I was totally baffled. I came out of the airport and thought, this can't be true. The only thing that I consciously did differently was keep a constant smile. And it was really fun. The interaction with the stewardess was really nice, and I even got a bottle of wine as a present. The wonderful Nick Holly, that was the name of the HR director, was actually right. It works. Smiling is a method I can use to create chemistry, a very rapport-enhancing thing.
Wow. Thanks for the story.
Now we build a cliffhanger.
We make an iceberg hanger. So we talked about the iceberg. We realized that rapport is important. We talked about the what and the how of communication.
Right. About the three important components of successful communication, especially about the rapport. Now listeners are probably asking themselves, what's all this about?
We'll tell you about that in the next chapter. Just try to smile more. Look at the people you communicate with. Smile at them, even if sometimes only via video call. It even works on the phone without seeing each other. Observe the feedback you get.
So far, we've talked about the three components of successful communication: the rapport, the how, and the what. One question at the end of this chapter: how would you prioritize these components? If 100% success is to be distributed among these three components, what share does rapport have? What share does the how have, and what share does the what have in the success of your communication?
A method that sounds very simple. It gets better and better. Just smile. I will try that. As a Rhinelander, I certainly have an advantage here. Smiling also seems to be a part of the mindset, part of the attitude toward life. Nobody wants to work for or with a grouch, obviously.
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Ports. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.